So, I mentioned at the top of the show that I'm a big fan of Mark Coulom, and I feel like his comedy endorsement means a lot. And so these folks that he invited here, super great. We're really happy to have them. Coming next, one of those fine people, Jameson Webb.
Hi, sorry, I just realized I only put deodorant on under one arm today, so I was feeling very wet over here, and I was like, so if you're listening, imagine that the right side of my body is very gross. is anyone here a fan of Weezer?
Yeah.
Cool. If you're not, you might want to like leave for about 5 minutes. So Weezer, yeah. Weezer was the first band that I loved. Like, loved. I grew up in a house where my folks would just listen to whatever was on the radio, which pretty much in the early 90s meant, like, John Cicada and, you know, Stevie Winwood, you know, whatever it was, like, you know, Phil Collins, Genesis, which is all fine, but, yeah. And not, you know, people think they took a dip after Gabriel left, but, you know. I came to Weezer late in the game. I first heard them in 1999 when I saw them on that iconic cable network that plays music videos and shapes the cultural lexicon since the 80s, VH1. It was on Papa Video, and the song was Buddy Holly, and it was that great Spike Jonze-directed video. And I watched the video, and just everything about it, the fact that it was like retro happy days, you know, the pop melody, the rock crunch, the, you know, I can't think of another word, but you know what I mean, power chords and whatnot. You know, the harmonies were kind of goofy, but also pretty in a weird way, and there was such an underdog sentiment to the lyrics. I was like, this is my band. This is the band that I have been waiting to hear. You know, I'd gone through some Matchbox 20s, and I was like, yeah, finally I got here. And it was a weird time to be a Weezer fan, the late 90s, because they hadn't released an album since 1996, Pinkerton. They were kind of in a hiatus while their lead singer, Rivers, was off at Harvard and kind of doing his thing. And I don't know if you remember Pinkerton, but when it came out in 96, it was a critical and commercial failure. Rolling Stone magazine named it the worst album of 1996. And upon hearing it, Pope John Paul II declared that God is dead. It really took a lashing. So, you know, I had all this enthusiasm for this band. I went out and I got the Blue album, their first album. And of course, you know, I listened to it and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's like four songs that are better than Buddy Holly on this. Like, how is that possible? You know, I mean, that song was like the greatest thing I've ever heard. And then, you know, I bought Pinkerton, and at first, you know, like, I didn't really get it, but then one day, like, I got it, you know, and I was like, yeah, like, okay. But, you know, so there I was, you know, loving this band, but there wasn't more music to get. They weren't touring. It was just kind of a weird vacuum. I don't know if I'm using that term right. But in 2001, all of a sudden, they were going to make a comeback. They had a new bassist, and they were touring on the Yahoo Outlook tour. And they had a new album coming out, the Green Album. Or it was just Weezer, but it had a green cover, so it was called the Green Album. And it came out, and I went and got it. I was so excited. Like, it was the first album release I looked forward to, and I went to Best Buy, and I bought it and opened it, and I'm looking through it. The liner notes were not much. It was very simple, but it was so exciting, and people, I want to talk about it with people. And so, this is like the early days of the internet in the sense that, like, you know, this is like internet 1.5 maybe, right? Where it's like people are still using AOL CDs, but we're also like, and we don't have YouTube. We're watching QuickTime videos that we're like downloading off of, like, you know, early versions of FTP sites. So I went to Weezer.com, their website, if the name didn't give it away. And I signed up for their message boards. I registered. My name is Jameson, and I was born on December 21st, so I chose the name Jamson 21 because I was told that you shouldn't have your real name in your internet name, so I thought if I took the I out, it would, you know, protect me from murderers. And it did, because here I am. So now, like most teenagers, I was very vulnerable and awkward, but kind of adding on to this, I was a year younger than all of my classmates. I skipped kindergarten I was just like I was a genius, and by that I just like I during nap time I would say to the teacher, instead of taking a nap, can I go read? And she'd be like, yeah. And so after 3 weeks, they were like, shouldn't be here. So I was a year younger than everyone, which meant that when I got to high school and everyone started driving, I was not driving yet, right? And I lived on the opposite side of town from everyone else, so it was a little inconvenient to come pick me up. And of course, you're in high school. You don't want your parents dropping you off, right? So I just decided I wasn't going to go out. I was just going to stay at home on Friday nights. And you know who else stays at home on Friday nights? People who use the Weezer.com message boards. So I would just stay in all night, and I tried to go back. I did not realize this until somewhat recently, but I guess when they switched over their site at some point, they deleted all of the message boards, which is too bad. I don't have an actual paper archive, and or not paper, but any kind of archive. But I do remember things that I wrote on these message boards, and I'd like to share just a few, and feel free to, like, sub in your own fandom with Weezer. Let Weezer be kind of a catch-all, if you will. But these are things that I remember actually writing, and so here we go. Hey, I heard a rumor that former bassist Matt Sharp is going to rejoin the band as the keyboard player. It's pretty cool how music has the power to heal old wounds. Hey, everybody. Isn't Weezer kind of like the modern-day Beatles, except Rivers Cuomo is both Lennon and McCartney rolled into one? Hey, I'd love to see the band try more acoustic stuff on the next album. You know, like an Exile on Main Street type trip through American blues and roots music, but with the Weezer twist. Everybody, Pat, that's Weezer's drummer, Pat Wilson. Hey, everybody, Pat has his own band where he's the lead singer. Why doesn't he sing background vocals on Weezer albums? By the way, I did get an answer to this because I found his email address and I emailed him and asked him, and he wrote back, I don't know, maybe I will someday. And he did. Hey, if you rearrange the letters in my name, Jameson, Jamison, you get I'm Jonas, or my name is Jonas. Pretty cool, huh? I know we call it the green... I'm reading off of this. I hope that's okay. I know we call it the green album because the cover is green, but I just realized that the color green is also associated with springtime, the season of rebirth and rejuvenation. And the green album is kind of the rebirth and rejuvenation of Weezer. Don't you all think Pinkerton could easily translate into a movie? I have an idea. It's about a rock star who's tired of sex. He tries to get with different committed relationships, get you, but it doesn't work. No other one. So he finally says, why bother? He's just going to be a recluse. Then one day he receives a letter from across the sea from a young Japanese girl who's a fan of his music. He decides he's going to start living the good life and track her down. He travels to Japan to do a concert where he invites her and performs El Scorcho with the lyric, I'm a lot like you, I think you'd be good for me, blah, blah, blah. Turns out she's a lesbian, Pink Triangle. That one's pretty clear in the album. He decides to lay it all on the line and tell her that he loves her, and, you know, he's hoping that, you know, he can have a place for her, falling for you, but she rejects him. And so he gets sad and travels home and ends up in a dive bar singing the song Butterfly. The end. I'll wrap this up. I just have a few more. When Weezer was working on its fourth album, It Became Maladroit, I wrote this bizarre fan fiction story where the albums were living, breathing creatures, and Blue and Pinkerton and Green eagerly awaited the arrival of their new brother. One of the message board members said they loved it so much that they printed it out and taped it in their high school locker to look at every day. But the point where my fandom became too much and I realized I needed to pull back was when I decided that I wanted to have some fun with the message boards and also to kind of play God a little bit with Weezer. So what I did was I wrote a fake MTVnews.com article, but I said I copied and pasted it from the site, and then I just put the whole body into it, into the thread. And I treat it like, it was about Weezer collaborating with Axl Rose on a new song. Now Weezer had been, yeah. What would he be doing with those nerds? So Weezer had been like releasing their demos, so people knew the songs they were working on. And Weezer and Axl and Guns N' Roses, the recently reformed Guns N' Roses, had played the same festival in Japan. There was enough real information where it felt like I could get away with this. So I remember the first line of this article that I wrote, and this foreshadowed my major as a journalism major. Sweaters and Spectacles meets Guns N' Roses? That's the rumor out of Japan, where Rivers Cuomo and Weezer are exploring a collaboration with reclusive rock star Axl Rose on a song called Mo Beats. So it was a stupid hoax. It was a dumb hoax, but people posted, they're like, that's unbelievable. And I was like, yeah, and then at the bottom I wrote, yeah, it was just a joke. Hope you all enjoyed it. So then like 3 months later, someone posted, hey, I heard this thing about Weezer and Guns N' Roses. I'm like, oh, they're, you know, whatever. But some website, like a somewhat blabbermouth.net, it was like this like punk site or something. Anyway, they had presented my article as their scoop that they had gotten from MTV News. And I was like, no, this is fake. This isn't real. And then, you know, but no one listened. And then, like, a month later, someone was like, hey, in Australia, I just heard in a radio station that Weezer and Guns N' Roses are working on this album. And I'm like, yeah, this isn't real. And then for about maybe, like, for a year, like, every – or maybe not quite a year, but for every 2 months, like, people would be like, hey, we heard from this newsletter or from this radio station in New York or this blog that they were collaborating. And then it finally came to a head at the 2002 MTV VMAs, where on the MTV boards there was a rumor that this huge exciting collaboration was going to happen. Now, I think what it ended up being was the battle of the bands between the Hives and the Vines to see who would be garage rock kings. But and if you've seen the performance, the Hives won. But people thought that Weezer was going to collaborate with Guns N' Roses and the Muppets were going to be there because Weezer had just done the Keep Fishing video. And they were, you know, quoting and sourcing my, you know, article as the reason. And I actually believed for about 3 days that I had willed it the secret style and that by me making this fake article, it had gotten the two camps talking and they were like, you know, it's kind of a good idea. Maybe we should collaborate. And I was very proud of myself and I couldn't wait. I was telling people at school, like, you might want to watch MTV tonight. I think you're going to see something. Not the case, obviously. Guns N' Roses performed, not Weezer. And that was the point where I said, you know, this is maybe too much. And at the same time, Weezer started making bad music. So it really helped me kind of distance myself from them a little bit. And I wish those boards were still around because it was such a snapshot into a very specific time in my life and a specific style of internet that you don't really have anymore because we have Facebook and Twitter and these other ways of communicating. There's still message boards, but not the same way. And I was ready to just be done with Weezer entirely, but then their album came out last year, Everything Will Be All Right in the End is the title of it. And I was like, yeah, everything will be all right in the end. And there was a bunch I loved about it, so I was like, all right, I'm just gonna do this once. So I went on this other Weezer fan site, and a bunch of the people were still there all these years later. It was like walking into like a high school with your teachers. And so I spent a day just like commenting and all that stuff, and it was really nice. So it turns out, like the Bon Jovi song goes, you can go home again. Thank you.
Thank you, Jameson. Oh no, our lyrics. So you do not have a copy of the story where the albums are people and they meet their new brother?
No, I don't. I mean, I can like prop them together pretty well.
Man, we have a fan fiction.
Yeah.
Every February we do fan fiction February. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, I can talk to the girl who put it in her locker.
Yeah. Man, I gotta tell you, Red Album is where I fell off of Weezer. That was the second worst CD I ever spent money on. The first was Saint Anger. We should talk.
Oh, yeah.
Saint Anger. Jim was in Jim was in the country's premier Metallica cover band. Jim, you never played anything from St. Anger, right?
Never, not once.
Not once. Yeah. Give it up for Jim.
In 7 years.